the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I made, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name.
That's good.
I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I made, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name.
Lord, that's amen. All right. Let's get our Bibles open this evening. And we're going to read some scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's not go back yonder in the back. Are you the, like, you used to go to Kevin's church? I thought you were. That's the church I was preaching in last night. Raise your hand back, our sister. And you know how the little door goes out there to the street? That's where it was last night. Amen. Thought that was y'all. Good to have you tonight. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this evening. I'll be reading the scripture, giving you the explanation and the reason and the blessing of what we're doing tonight. Every Christian, that's why we have a church. That's why we're a part of a church where we can partake of the Lord's Supper. I talked to a fellow at Flea Market the other day, and I said, you go to church anywhere? And he looked around and he said, this is my church, the flea market. That's what he said. And I said, it looks like most of you members are backslid, I think, Rosalie. And that's his church. You can't have the Lord's Supper. You can't have Sunday school class. That's your church. That's not a church. A church is a local body of believers assembled for the purpose of preaching the Bible, getting the gospel, and honoring Jesus Christ. We here tonight are a part of a local body of Christ. This is not like the Kiwanis Club or the Masonic Lodge or them other Masons and the other people like the Kiwanis, you know, the Elks and the Moose and Goose and stuff like that. This is the living organism, the church. It's not an organization. It's an organism. It's alive. And so, as the Lord came down to that night before he was crucified, he got his disciples in the upper room, and they have what we call the Last Supper. This supper was not for nourishment. It was symbolic of what was getting ready to happen. What we are doing here tonight is not for physical nourishment. He told them, you have houses to eat in, if that's what you want to do. If a person just said, well, I'm hungry, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper because you're hungry. We are doing it showing that we are partaker. Now, when I got saved, I believed on the Lord, and I became a part of his body, and I took of his body, and by faith, I drank and take in his blood, the blood of Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. That's entirely scriptural. He said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Now, symbolically, we do that when we get saved. The Catholic Church, as I'll show you in a minute, teaches that literally. They teach that the bread and the wine, which they use, or, you know, we use the fruit of the vine. That's grape juice. So in the Bible, everything that come out of a grape is called wine. I can prove it to you. In the book of Isaiah, what they squeezed out of grapes was called wine. There's new wine. There's old wine. There's wine that's just juice. There's wine that was fermented. None of it was fermented like what you go down here and buy down here at the bootleggers or at the convenience store at Walmart or somewhere. So we don't use fermented liquor. That's contaminated. We use the pure blood of the grape. That's what this is. Now, there are three basic views on the Lord's Supper. Number one, the Catholic view. If you were Catholic before you got saved, Shelley was, Shaughnessy was, and I don't know if there's any other in here tonight or not. Miss B was Catholic. That's right, she was raised Catholic. They have the doctrine called transubstantiation. And transubstantiation means that when the priest puts the blessing on that bread and wine, as they use it, it literally becomes the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Literally, a miracle takes place right there. Is that right? Is that what I'm saying? All right. And they call that a mass, and they call it, what do they call it? They call it communion? What do they call it? Huh? What do they call it? Eucharist, the bread, and the cup. What do they call that? Liquor. But anyway, that's transubstantiation. That's what Martin Luther and all them guys fought over during in the Reformation. They was fussing about all them doctrines like that, getting it all hashed out. Then there's another doctrine called consubstantiation. And consubstantiation, that's what they teach in Bible college and seminary and all that, is I think it's like the Lutheran church is not quite what we are, but not quite what they are. And they believe that it don't become the body and blood of Jesus, but somehow, quote, mystically, the body and blood of Jesus become present in the room. Sort of spooky sounding something or another. We don't believe either one of those. I'll show you what we believe. We believe that when we take of this bread, we are showing the Lord's death till he come. That's simple. His body was broken on the cross. His blood was shed on the cross. And we're showing that till he comes. It's simply a statement that, just like when you get baptized. When you get baptized, it's an ordinance. There's only two ordinances that the church has. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Some churches include foot washing as an ordinance. We don't. We have baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now, we'll talk about foot washing some other time. But there's only two ordinances in the Bible for a Bible-believing Baptist church. And that's one reason why you're Baptist, by the way. We do have a reason for being Baptist. We have a strong historical Baptist heritage. We're not going to become a worship center or a hangout joint or change our name and drop Baptist in church so we can attract people that's not a little too worldly to accept a name like Baptist or church. John was a Baptist, John the Baptist, and Jesus died for the church. If you get too cool to be a church, you're too cool for the Bible, buddy. Right. Amen. Amen. Don't get too cool for your own good. God's not hip. Jesus died for the church. The church. Don't be ashamed to be called a church. Put it on your sign. Tell people what you are. If they don't want to come, that's too bad. But that's what we are, and that's what we're going to be by God's grace. All right, let's read it here. Here's where it happened. 1 Corinthians 11. I'm not going to preach tonight. I'm just going to read. Verse 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. He's talking about a regular meal like we're going to have next week. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat in? That's why a lot of the old timers don't believe in eating in church. They thought you wasn't supposed to eat a bite in church. I know people still to this day believe it's a sin to eat inside of a church building. He didn't say that. He said, if you come together to eat a meal, just stay home and do that at home. we eat the Lord's Supper when we come together, for it's His supper. Verse 22. Don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Or despise you the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord, Paul says to the Corinthian church, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, here we go, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And they took the bread. Then when they got through, after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often, and it don't say how often, some do it every now and then, some do it every 3 months, some do it every 6 months, some do it every month, every week, some of them. Often you do this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death, how long? Till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, that means if you just backslid and a hypocrite and ain't trying to live right, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. That's what we're getting ready to do. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That means if you're just living like a devil and you go ahead and do this and think it's something funny, you get sick or die. You could get sick or die. Verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That's what we're getting ready to do. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Back at verse 28. Let a man examine himself. I got down and prayed before I came down here tonight. And this is why I love to have this service, because it's a good time for us just to all get our hearts right. And I said, Lord, I want to be right with you. I want to be right with you. And Lord, I know I'm way a failure, and I'm far short of what I ought to be. But God, you know my heart. There's nothing between me and you. I ain't got nothing that I'm holding on to. By your grace, you've got my life. I'm trying my best to try to live to please you. I don't want nothing between me and you. Then I don't want nothing between me and my family, my wife, my family. As far as I know, there's not. As far as I know, I love them. I love all my girls, my wife, and all my family. I don't want nothing between me and my family. And then third, I don't want nothing between me and y'all or anybody else in this world. Now, there's some people in the world that won't even speak to me, but it's not my choosing. I want to be right with them. Because somebody asked me, they said, well, what if you're not speaking to some of your family members? If it's your choice, then you ought to get it right. If it's their choice and you ain't nothing you can do about it, then ain't nothing you can do about it. I want to be right with them whether they're right with me or not. Amen? All of us have people that probably don't like us or don't want to be around us. I mean, ain't nothing you can do about that. If you've tried to make it right and they won't, then you're okay. But if you're saying, I hate them, I don't care if they die, I'll never speak to them, well, you're not right. You're not right. You need to get your heart right towards your family, towards your friends and relatives, and toward the Lord. Okay? Now, what we're going to do right now, we're going to take just a minute, and we're going to pray, and we're going to examine. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. Before we do this, we're going to examine ourselves. So what I'd like for you to do, bow your head in prayer. She's going to play softly tonight. The Bible said, examine yourself. If there's anybody you need to forgive, if there's any hard feelings in your heart toward anybody in this world, if you want to come to the altar and pray, we've already got some coming. One come to the altar, some others. We'll come up here and let's pray at the altar. It's a good time to get your heart right. Good time to get your heart right. And if you want to stay there and pray at your seat, that's fine too. I don't want nothing between me and the Lord, or nothing between me and nobody else. I don't want to have hard feelings. I don't want to have a bad spirit. I want to be able to take anybody in this church or anybody in this town by the hand and say, let's go to the altar and pray together. Amen. If there's anybody you can't pray with or wouldn't pray with, just get your heart right. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. God, we come before you this evening confessing everything we've done, everything we've said. If we've said something that wasn't right, if we've told somebody something that wasn't true, Lord, if we've misled anybody, been wicked in our dealings with any kind of money, anything, time, work, things at work with our boss, anything, Lord, God, forgive us right now. Make us right. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be right with our family, our friends, everybody we work with, people we go to school with, and then our church family here tonight. I pray, help us to be right. Have your way in our lives this evening. Lord, I'm glad that you went to that cross, shed your blood for our sorry lives and our sin. I pray you'd bless us now tonight. God, as we live for you in these last days, that we'll serve you and love you and do the right thing. Lord, we don't want to have hard feelings toward anybody. Oh God, help us, we pray. Lord, we know there may be those that have hard feelings toward us, but Lord, we don't want to feel that way toward them. Help us to forgive and put it all behind us and walk on with you. In Jesus' name. Some's praying tonight. Some's still praying. And you just pray right out of your heart tonight. You say, well, Brother Danny, how do I know if I've really forgiven somebody? Well, would you go to the altar and pray with them? You say, no. Well, you ain't forgive them. You say, yeah, I would. Okay, you're all right. Amen. You're all right. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. All right. What we'll do, we're going to have our men serve you the bread. Everyone hold it until I read the scripture, ask the blessing, and then we'll partake of the bread first, a picture of the Lord's body, and then we'll do the same thing with God. We'll hold on to it until we pray. And you explain this to your kids, everybody. If they're too little, they haven't been saved, just tell them, hey, you got to wait. You say, well, they want to do it. It's for people that's saved and been born again. Just tell them they have to wait until the time comes for them, okay? All right. Come on, fellas. I'll pray and then I'll read the scripture and then we'll partake of this bread. And when he had given thanks, our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you let them break your body for our sins. Lord, help us never to forget. Help us never to get over. Help us never to take for granted what you did for us that day on that cross. Lord, the world is going the wrong way. Lord, they don't understand religion. They don't understand the Bible. They don't understand your death on the cross. But Lord, like I talked about this morning, you suffered and bled. Your body was broken for us. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Glory be to God. Lord, I'm glad you let them do that, Lord, so that we can be saved. We didn't deserve it. Still don't. Never have, never will. But we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's pray again. Father, we thank you, Lord, that that blood was shed for our sins. Lord, in the light of the way this world's going, and we know out there tonight is a raging battle for the souls and lives and hearts of young people and men, boys and girls. But I'm so thankful and so glad the blood has never lost its power. It's just as real and just as powerful tonight as it was that day you shed it on Calvary. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I'm glad we can go out of here tonight justified. Amen. Thank God. Justified, never sinned in the sight of God Almighty because of that precious blood. Lord, I'm glad there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Help us to live right, serve you every day, and to tell others about Jesus. Thank you for your blood. In Jesus' name, amen. After the same manner, also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The Bible said, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Amen. Hallelujah. When you think about it, y'all, this is Easter week. They'll be talking about rabbits and eggs and stuff like that. But it really means a whole lot more than that. And that's when the Lord died for us on the cross. Hallelujah. And up from the grave he arose. Next Sunday, we're going to celebrate that resurrection. Try to get everybody you can to get in here next Sunday. The sunrise service is at 7. And the ladies are going, man, we're having biscuits and gravy, and good night they are. Casserole and ham biscuits and donuts and gravy and pancake bites. I don't know what that is. Is that a pancake with a bite took out of it? I've had them before. We used to fight over them. But we're looking forward to that. And so that'll be at 7 o'clock. We'll have a little short service and then breakfast. And then we'll meet back at 10 for Sunday school. You got time to go home, come back, or whatever you want to do, go the bus route, whatever. I would like to have a bus workers, bus drivers and workers meeting in the teen class right now. It'll be real short, about 10 minutes, and as soon as we dismiss here this evening, and we're going to talk about our big day coming up and the youth rally. So bus workers, bus drivers, and everybody in the teen class just as soon as we dismiss, and everybody else fellowship. And just have a good time in the Lord this evening. God good, ain't he? Boy, I tell you, it's sweet in here tonight. Amen. We had one of these one time, a boy come down and got saved. That's right. I've never seen that before, but it happened. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you can be saved here tonight. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Let's go. Our bus workers, every bus worker, driver, and everybody meet back in the teen class just for a minute. And everybody else, God bless you. Let's stand. And we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed. And